This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Today in Philadelphia, investment banker Dennis Carlson will take the witness stand for a second day. Authorities say Dennis Carlson lied to the FBI as it investigated widespread corruption within City Hall. 12 people have been charged in the scandal, which involves allegations of trading money and gifts for lucrative city contracts. And as NPR's Luke Burbank reports, the allegations are familiar.
This week in Philadelphia, the term pay to play has been heard almost as much as go Eagles. Banker Dennis Carlson is accused of loaning his condo to the city treasurer and then lying about it in the hopes of securing city contracts. Standing outside the federal courthouse, Carlson says he was just doing what any good businessman would do, schmoozing with his contacts.
I never got into pay to play. I always looked at it as networking, and I never did anything illegal in this matter. I think that they, because of my relationship with a lot of people in town, the high profile associated with that, it sells papers and it gets the news stories going.
Those news stories really got going on October 7th, 2003. Philadelphia Mayor John Street, a Democrat, was locked in a tight race for re-election.
And then was the discovery of the bug, which transformed everything.
Randall Miller is a professor of history at St. Joseph's University.
First, there was shock, a surprise, all kinds of questions. Why was the mayor's office being bugged?
The device had been planted by the FBI after it grew suspicious that favors and influence were being traded for campaign donations. Federal agents were furious when the bug was uncovered by the city police chief. The bug never actually recorded a conversation, but other devices did. And prosecutors say those recordings show that pay-to-play was a common occurrence. One tape features a phone conversation between George Burrell, a senior aide to the mayor, and an influential attorney and power broker named Ron White.
Hey, George, what's up?
I thought we were partners, man. You don't talk to me anymore. You must not love me. You must not love me.
Prosecutors allege that because Ron White was the top fundraiser for the mayor, he was allotted all kinds of influence, including getting to decide which companies received lucrative contracts for financing city bonds. Prosecutors say those who donated to the campaign got the work, while those who didn't were out of luck. In this part of the tape, George Burrell, the mayor's aide, asks Ron White why he's insisting that the city hire a company called Janney Montgomery Scott for financial work. White says it's because of his close ties to company executive Dennis Carlson, the man on trial this week.
Why are we doing Janney Montgomery Scott?
Listen, like,
they get every Republican deal that's done in the region.
No, but
why are we doing Janney Montgomery Scott?
Because of Dennis Carlson, who's been with us for the last 10 years.
Neither the mayor nor his aide, George Burrell, have been indicted in the matter. Burrell concedes, though, that when it comes to so-called no-bid contracts, like financing city bonds, the mayor's office gives its allies special consideration.
We would prefer to support people who support the mayor's vision. We don't make decisions on a partisan basis. We make decisions on the basis of what's in the best interest of the city of Philadelphia.
Authorities allege lawyer Ron White was at the center of the corruption. They charged him with conspiracy, wire fraud, extortion, and other offenses. But White died of pancreatic cancer last year before standing trial. Corey Kemp, the city treasurer, accused of accepting a new deck for his house, free Super Bowl tickets, and other favors, is set to stand trial next month. In all, 12 people from Philadelphia to Mobile, Alabama, were charged with activities related to corruption. One of the challenges, says Professor Randall Miller, is that many Philadelphians see corruption as a way to get things done.
It's understood that if you talk to your ward leader, if you have the right relationship, maybe if you smooth the path with a few dollars, certainly with a vote, that there'll be an exchange, as it were. They might be crooks in City Hall, but they're okay. There are crooks, and we'll live with it.
Fred Voigt would like to stop these practices before they get started. He runs the Committee of 70, a Philadelphia watchdog group formed a century ago after muckraker Lincoln Steffens denounced the city as corrupt and contented. Voigt's been looking into how other cities run their ethics offices.
And it turns out that L.A. and New York are the best, but they're not cheap. L.A. spends almost $2 million a year just to support their ethics unit.
Where's Philadelphia's ethics unit? What do they spend on theirs?
We don't have one.
The only people who have the legal power to create an office of accountability are the city council and the mayor. Luke Burbank, NPR News, Philadelphia.